Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 47 at 16,049. S&P 500 up 2 at 1,884. NASDAQ Composite down 26 at 4,517. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 4 basis points at 2.09%. Oil up 80 cents at $45.23 per barrel. Gold down $4.40 at $1,128.70 per ounce. Silver up 4 cents at $14.74. So a little bit of a bounce back from yesterday's triple-digit losses on the Dow, but nothing to write home about. Single-family home prices rose in July, matching the pace of price gains in June, but falling just short of expectations. The S&P Case-Shiller Composite Index of 20 metropolitan areas in July gained 5% year over year. San Francisco, San Diego, Denver, and Dallas experienced the highest year-over-year home appreciation among the 20 cities, with price increases of 10.4% in San Francisco, 10.3% in Denver, Dallas at 8.7%. The worst-performing cities on the list include Detroit, and the only surprise is that Chicago was even worse than Detroit. The Sun Belt cities, Miami, Tampa, Phoenix, and Las Vegas, which were the poster children of the housing boom, have yet to make new all-time highs. Phoenix home prices were up 0.7% in July and up 4.6% year over year. The Conference Board said its index of consumer attitudes rose to 103. That's the highest since January, from a downwardly revised 101.3 the month before. The Present Situation Index, that's a measure of current conditions, also climbed to an 8-year high of 121.1, up from 115.8. Yet the Expectations Index declined to 91 from 91.6, suggesting Americans are a bit more cautious about the next 6 months. After 2 weeks of solid drawdowns, API reports a huge 4.6 million barrel crude oil inventory build last week. It's the second biggest weekly build in over 5 months. The Senate yesterday passed a procedural vote to extend federal agency funding levels until December 11th as Congress moved to avoid a government shutdown Thursday. That's when the new fiscal year starts. The Senate overwhelmingly advanced the government funding bill. It still has to go to the House for a vote. The International Monetary Fund is warning of large positions that mutual funds in the United States have built in high-yielding bonds issued by risky companies here and in emerging markets around the world. The warning comes at a time of increased nervousness about China and other emerging markets like Brazil. And it highlights a growing concern on the part of regulators and economists that mutual funds, in their hunger to load up on high-risk, high-yield securities in a low-interest rate environment, will be hard-pressed to sell them during a market reversal. Carl Icahn says the Fed is blowing it. Activist investor Carl Icahn released a new video titled Danger Ahead, which warns that trouble is coming to the financial markets. Icahn believes the Fed got the U.S. economy into this mess and that its zero interest rate policy has created an earnings mirage. In the film, Icahn criticized both political parties for not reaching a tax compromise that would encourage American widget makers to bring more than $2 trillion in foreign profits back to the U.S. He criticized Wall Street sales folk for having a code of ethics he jokingly characterized as less virtuous than the mafia. He criticized earnings reports wholesale as suspect due to financial engineering via share buybacks and M&A. Icahn says companies are simply buying other companies to create the perception of growing earnings, and that a lot of companies are buying back stock that shouldn't be. Icahn says a buyback is a short-term fix, but it weakens the balance sheet. So, Activist investor Carl Icahn is now opposed to financial engineering. The only surprise here is that, well, actually, there is no surprise. Goldman Sachs lowered its S&P target. Goldman Sachs U.S. equity strategist David Kosten lowered his S&P 500 price target to 2,000, down from the previous target of 2,100. Kosten wrote, "The impetus for these reductions is that our models now incorporate a slower pace of economic activity in the U.S. and China, and a lower oil price than we had been previously assuming." For 2016, Kosten sees S&P 500 earnings per share of $120 and a year-end target of $2,100. At best, they are late to the analysis. At worst, it's a contrarian indicator. The new iPhones had a strong debut, with estimates that Apple sold a record 13 million over the weekend. Apple charges $749 for an iPhone 6S with 64 gigabits of storage. But how much does it actually cost Apple to build the phone? Teardown.com ripped apart a new iPhone to figure out exactly what's inside and found the total cost of components is $245. The most expensive bits are the processors, followed by the touch screen. This does not mean that Apple is making $499 in profit on each phone, though, as it doesn't include costs like manufacturing and shipping. Yahoo's board has authorized the company's plan to spin off its 384 million share stake in Alibaba, even though the IRS has declined to rule on whether the move will be tax-free. Yahoo cautioned that the spinoff is still subject to certain other conditions, including final approval by Yahoo's board of directors and receipt of a legal opinion with respect to the tax-free treatment of the transaction. The stake, valued at about $22.7 billion. Sprint has confirmed that it won't take part in the FCC's broadcast incentive auction for wireless spectrum next March. The auction for prized low-band airwaves that will help with indoor penetration and in rural areas won't be cheap, so skipping it should make a major difference to cash burn, a vital issue for Sprint. Reynolds American has agreed to sell the international rights to its Natural American Spirit division to Japan Tobacco for about $5 billion. The deal does not include the brand's U.S. operations, Winston-Salem. After nearly 2 years' worth of delays, Tesla kicks off Model X deliveries today. Prices top out at $132,000. Initial demand looks strong. Tesla has booked roughly 30,000 reservations for the vehicle. The launch isn't the only big project for Tesla, which aims to open a $5 billion battery factory in Nevada next year. By now, you've heard about the Volkswagen diesel scandal. The company installed software that would cheat emissions tests, and then, when the cars went back out on the road in regular driving conditions, the cars would emit 40 times the legal limit for nitrogen oxide, or NOx. The CEO of Volkswagen, Martin Winterkorn, was fired. To make matters worse, it appears that Volkswagen was warned about the illegality of the software as far back as 2007 by Robert Bosch. Bosch is the engineering and electronics firm which supplied VW with certain components that are at the center of the scandal, but it did so for testing purposes only. According to Automotive News, Bosch told VW that using the technology in a production vehicle was unlawful. VW's supervisory board said the board had received an internal report at its meeting on Friday showing VW technicians had warned about illegal emissions practices back in 2011. No explanation was given as to why the matter was not addressed then. Now, you may wonder how serious this whole mess really is. Sure, it's a hit to VW's reputation. There will likely be recalls of millions of cars. There will be class action lawsuits and more. But then you recall General Motors had a problem with faulty ignition switches that resulted in 124 deaths and even more injuries. GM was charged criminally with hiding the defect from regulators and, in the process, defrauding consumers. But the case was put on hold as part of a deal where GM pays a $900 million fine and signed a deferred prosecution agreement, basically saying they won't do it again. Volkswagen pollution is harder to link to individual deaths, but it is still a deadly bit of deception. New York Times reports that the chemicals that spewed illegally from the Volkswagen diesel cars, known as nitrogen oxides, NOx, have been linked to a host of respiratory and cardiovascular illnesses, as well as premature deaths. Of course, all that death and illness can't be linked back to VW directly. But scientists now calculate that the excess pollution from VW cars, about 46,000 tons since late 2008 in the U.S., likely resulted in 106 deaths, plus an as-yet uncalculated number of illnesses. Of course, that's just for the illegal emissions. Most of the air pollution from cars is perfectly legal. In fact, the average gap between real-world emissions and official test results has been growing. A new report by the International Council on Clean Transportation, the research group that first flagged suspicious emissions patterns at Volkswagen, found that under normal conditions, the average carbon dioxide emissions for passenger cars are some 40% higher than the official amounts certified by European lab test. In 2001, the gap was less than 10%. Daimler showed a gap of nearly 50% between what researchers measured on the road and what technicians recorded in official lab test. The artificial and predictable conditions under which cars are tested makes it easy for car makers to engineer favorable emissions test results without breaking any rules, tuning engines to perform most efficiently at the power and load levels commonly used in test is one way to do that. And VW is not the only car company trying to skirt emission standards. For years, emissions from cars built by almost every major manufacturer have been higher out on the road than when tested in labs. Over the years, several major automakers, including GM, Ford, Honda, and, yes, Volkswagen, have been forced to pay hefty fines and recall vehicles after getting caught using defeat devices. Follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, text, audio, and much more, eatthebankers.com.